been that good in that time to us all. I know you run better than that. He's been that good in that time to us all. We thank you, God. We appreciate what an awesome and mighty God we serve. Can we get a round of applause for the praise team as well? As y'all can see, Lady Thomas ain't here. Y'all sounded good. Y'all did amazing. We appreciate y'all using y'all gifts in the body. So we are grateful to God to be here. Y'all lovely to see all your wonderful faces. We're about to wrap up this series today. Amen. I hope Take Inventory has been a blessing to you. The last 4 weeks, we looked at some specific things that we need to take inventory for. Amen. So while you're standing, we're going to jump into the Word of God. Matthew 11 and 28 today. Amen. Matthew 11 and 28 is the verse we're starting with, and it reads as follows. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest."
Amen.
Today I'm going to take inventory on my rest. Amen. Yeah, I got to take inventory on my rest. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Children, how to make an executive decision today. Amen. Y'all have to rock with us today. Amen. Just roll with us. We promise we got y'all back next week. I promise. But Matthew 11, 28 is where we start today. And everyone in here, I believe, at some point in your life has felt tired.
Yeah,
I believe that. At some point in your life, you just felt tired, right? I believe as a child, being tired is mostly associated with lack of sleep, right? That's when we were children. I ain't got enough sleep. I'm tired. But as we get older, it ain't just about not getting enough sleep that I got to school and I didn't make it, right? It's not that when you're younger, I didn't get enough sleep last night. I got to catch the bus at 6:35. I'm tired now. I stayed up too late on the phone or whatever I was doing. But when you get older, it's a little bit different. Sometimes you get physically tired when you get older, right? Sometimes we get mentally tired when we get older, right? Sometimes we get socially tired. And it all leads to sometimes even our souls can be tired. We get to the point that we get sick and tired of being sick and tired, amen? But once we learn and depend on Christ alone, then His rest becomes our rest. Please, in your study time this week, read chapter 11 in its entirety for this message. I can't go verse by verse. It's too much. But I'm going to start at some points and jump to another. Just follow with me, but read it in your spare time. But we see events that I believe that led Jesus to making this ultimate statement at the end of Matthew 11, 2 and 3. John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all the things the Messiah was doing. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we be looking for someone else?" My God. John the Baptist, let me help you out. Maybe everybody doesn't know. I don't expect everybody to know maybe who he is. Maybe you heard the name. Who is John the Baptist? John the Baptist is in prison. Why? Because he went and told Herod, "It's unlawful for you to marry your brother's wife." King Herod was a trip. He seen his sister-in-law, must have been fine to him. He said, "Look here, y'all ever break up, holler at me, sis, I got you." So she leaves her husband. He marries his sister-in-law. And John said, "That's not what God says to do. That's unlawful." So Herod feared God, but his wife didn't. She got mad. She didn't like John saying those things. So she said, "Put him in jail. It's a trip. Watch this. I believe Herod didn't have no rest because he was listening to a wicked wife." I'm going to start off with Herod. I think he was tripping because he liked John. He respected John, but I bet he couldn't get no rest. Sister girl, like, "Look here, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of that. You better do something with him." And because he getting no rest, he decided to lock up a prophet when the prophet was just trying to help him. Be careful. You got the right person in your life. Just don't marry anybody when they try to draw you away from the things of God. You got to make sure you got the right person. They got the right spirit that can agree with you. So Herod does what she says do, right? He locks her up, and he's in jail with no bail. Amen. He ain't got no bail. He locked up, but he got some visitation. His homeboys come through. He says, "Look here, I need y'all to go to Jesus. Find Jesus and ask this question to him. Are you the Messiah, or should we go looking for someone else?" My God. Why would John the Baptist say this? John the Baptist, at the beginning of the gospel in Matthew, he prepared the way for Jesus. He said, "Look here, Jesus is coming. This great man is coming. Matter of fact, I'm baptizing you with water. He gonna baptize with fire. He's so awesome, I'm not even worthy to strap his sandals." That's how cold he is. "I can't even touch his sandals." Matter of fact, when Jesus came to him and said, "I need you to baptize me, John said, "I'm not worthy." He said, "You have to do it because it has to be done. I got to get baptized too." So that's who he is. But John is tripping. He served God. He's been faithful. He knows who Jesus is, but because Jesus is, because of his predicament, he's beginning to question who God is. So the first part of my rest, watch this, I got to rest in God's power. Amen. Yeah, I got to rest in God's power. What do you mean? Can you find rest that God is in control? Yeah. Can you find rest in that he's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end, the author and finisher of your faith? Can you find real rest in that, knowing he's omniscient, he knows everything, he's omnipotent, he's all powerful? Do you rest in that, or is that a struggle? So when he sends the homies to ask Jesus, look here, are you the one we should be looking for, or should we look for another? And I figure out that's what we do sometimes. Yeah, we get saved, life is good, God has saved us, we feel the Holy Spirit, things are moving good, and then trials come. Then storms come. Disappointments come. Yeah. Then it's like, Jesus, are you God, or should I go look for another? Because you're supposed to be good, you're supposed to be this, you're supposed to be that. If you're supposed to be all that, why am I going through this? John is kind of confused. Look at what Jesus tells him, 11 verses 4 and 5. Jesus told him, go back to John and tell him what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. Ooh, Jesus gave him an answer, didn't he? Yeah, he gave him a real good answer. He said, look here. I need you to go back and holler at him and tell him what you've seen and heard. I need you to go back and give him some evidence of what's going on. I love this. I stand on the same word as Jesus, and here today, we got to be careful that we don't start to doubt. Yeah. Well, because things are going wrong, doubt likes to creep in, right? Because things ain't looking good, doubt likes to creep in. But there's some people in here today, I stand on what Jesus said, that were blind a little while ago, but now they see. There's some people in here that were deaf, couldn't hear God. Now they got a better relationship with God. They hear God, now they can hear. It's some people in here that were lame and lepers, couldn't walk, but now they're healed. It's some people who were dead in their sins just a year ago, and now God has freed them. The good news is being preached. So God is still healing, he's delivering, he's saving souls, he's doing all this right before our eyes, but you got to be open to receive it. Ooh, look at Matthew 11, 6. And tell him, God blesses those who do not turn away because of me. Ooh. Jesus is letting everything be known. Look here, I didn't mention this, but John the Baptist is Jesus' big cousin too. Yeah, Elizabeth was pregnant before him, before Mary. That's his big cousin. Mary and Elizabeth were cousins. So he said, look here, I need you to go back and tell cuz everything I'm saying, because God blesses those who don't turn away from me. Let me say it another way. God blesses those who don't get offended in me. Okay. God blesses those who don't turn away from me because I said no.
Come on.
Woo. Yeah, God blesses those who don't turn away because they said, I want this, and I said, you can't have it. Or I said, not yet. Or I said, keep waiting. God blesses those when I tell you, be patient. They don't turn away from me. When I tell you, he's not your husband, she's not your wife, be patient. Wait on me. But because of that, we get mad at God and turn away from Jesus. Yeah. We'd rather run towards something that isn't his rest. And because we gravitate to something that isn't his rest, we wonder why we all jacked up. We wonder why we restless. We run to things that are not his rest. Okay. That relationship, that job, that friendship, that partnership, that business, whatever it may be, I need it to be in his rest. Because if it's in his rest, that means it's in his will. That means heaven ordained it. That means ain't no hell attached to it. I ain't got to worry about the headache. I ain't got to worry about the stress. I ain't got to worry about all the foolishness, because it's part of his rest, not my own. You got to read the whole chapter, y'all. But Jesus began to tell the disciples how important John the Baptist is. I know I just called him out. I know I just told y'all to say something to him. He might not want to hear because he in jail. He going through right now. But John the Baptist is very important to the ministry. He prepared a way for me. He tells others about God. He said, y'all need to repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. He's trying to get in. He calls the Pharisees vipers and broads. Y'all need to repent. He's going everywhere trying to get people to come to Jesus. In fact, Jesus said this in that chapter. He's the greatest human being to ever live because he prepared the way for me. He said, look, I'm the God, man. I'm obviously the greatest, but if we're just talking about pure humans, is John the Baptist, because he led the way for me, y'all. So Jesus begins to criticize them, unrepentant cities. He begins to deal with the disciples and John because they're losing faith in him. All this stuff is going around. And Jesus said, look here, people's faith are leaving. I got to do something. Yeah. I'm dealing with an unresponsive and an unrepentant generation that is before me. My God, think about that. Jesus said, this generation is unresponsive. You know what unresponsive means?
Yeah.
It means you're dead. It means you have nothing left in you. They're unresponsive. So he said, look here, I'm preaching the gospel. I'm trying to get them to understand they need me. And they unresponsive and they unrepentant. My God, we're living in some tough times. Jesus noticed all this and he has a question. He said, look here, I got to go to God. I got to go pray. Man, don't you know sometimes when a dead situation is before you, got to go pray. I love this. They're unresponsive and they're unrepentant. But Jesus, I got to go pray. See, so many times we got dead situations before us and then we give up. We got dead situations before us and then we just sit there and let them be dead. No. You better learn to pray your way through. You better learn to pray your way through. You better learn to pray and pray some more. And if it ain't answer, keep praying again. I love this. Ezekiel said this. God said, can these dry bones live? And Ezekiel said this. He said, oh God, only you know. Dry bones are dead. Dry bones don't have no life in them. But Ezekiel said, only God you know, which means God, if you say they can live, I know they dead.
Yeah.
I know they dry. They have no life in them. But if you say it, oh God, they'll come back to life. Is your faith strong enough to pray back a dead situation? Maybe something is dead in your life, but you got to have enough faith.
Yeah.
So pray. Jesus said, look, everybody's unrepentant. Their hearts are not right. They're unresponsive. Let me go pray. Look at Matthew 11, 25. At that time, Jesus prayed this prayer. Oh, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever and for revealing them to the childlike. Wow. Jesus does this awesome prayer, y'all. He's vocally verifying in front of the population that only a certain group of people can receive them, my God. And the number one requirement is to be childlike. Ain't that a trip? He says, yeah, you've hid it from those who think they wise. The childlike, my God, children. You know why? Because children's faith is strong. It's adults that break it a lot of time. Children believe they can do anything. They believe they can conquer the world. They believe a lot of stuff. But it's us adults, because we can't do it, because life has dealt us a bad hand, we sometimes kill their faith. Amen. He says, no, a child will believe an adult until an adult breaks their trust. Amen. A child will believe everything you got to say and everything you can do. So he says, look, you need that kind of faith in your father. Childlike faith. Matthew 11, 28, where we started, y'all. Then Jesus comes to me, said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. The next thing we got to learn, watch this, is resting in God's presence. Amen.
Yeah.
You got to rest in God's presence. Look at this, y'all. Psalms 116, 7 to 8. Let my soul be at rest again, for the Lord has been good to me. He has saved me from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling. My God, whoever wrote that went through something, amen. Whoever wrote that knew something about God, right, amen. I love that. When I know God is my helper, he's everything to me, watch this. My soul is at rest because God has been so good to me. Okay. All right, feel me. Okay. But I look back over my life, this is my life. But I've had pain. I've had disappointments. I've had illness. I've had trouble. But in spite of it all, God's still been good to me. Amen. Okay. And that means just that's my time of my life. Okay. He saved me from death. I was talking to Brother Alex and Brittany, and I was talking. I heard him, and I told him one time, God just began to reflect everything about me, all the things that I've been through in my life, and how the enemy could have took me out a long time ago. And my mama's right there. She's right there. She struggled to have me. I shared that. She struggled to have me as a child. She finally got pregnant with me, and then she had gotten a car accident in the cab. Amen. You don't want to know. If you struggle to have children, you know, when you finally get pregnant, you're trying to walk it out easy. You don't want nothing. You don't want nothing to go wrong. She got in a car accident right when she had me. When I was about five, the roof of my mouth, I was jumping and not listening off the steps. Eating a Wendy's Frosty, praise God. Children, listen to your parents. I was about five, wouldn't listen, told me quit jumping, kept jumping. I fell off the steps, roof of the spoon pushed through the roof of my mouth, split it open, had to get 20-something stitches in my mouth, top of the roof of my mouth, closed my mouth, could have died, bleeding everywhere as a child. I was about 4 or 5. Then I was little, I remember my dad's vehicle got shot up. My bedroom is in the front room. Any of those bullets could have hit not only my dad's vehicle, but it could have hit my room. So I could have been dead a long time ago. Mind you, I don't know about God at this point in my life. I'm a kid. I don't know how good God is, my God. And then I think about as I got older, I fell asleep behind a wheel, and I was at a stoplight for I don't know how long, had at least be an hour, and my foot was on the brake. I was drunk. I should have been dead. Amen. I don't know how many times I drove home and don't remember how I got there. I don't know how many times I poured. Ain't nobody testifying to this. I know I got home. I pulled up safe, but I don't remember what exit I got on. I don't remember. I had too much to drink, too much to smoke, and I don't even remember. And God got me there.
Amen.
He's been good to you. But because we worried about so many little things, we forget about all the good he's done. Yeah. We worry about the little things that we don't have right now. And because there's little things we've been waiting on, and sometimes it's a big thing. I ain't gonna say it's always little, but because we're waiting on this one thing, it trumps everything he's already done. And God has done so much and been so kind to us all. We gotta learn to praise him for what he's done so he can do more. I love this. God is good. It said in verse 8, he saves you from death, your eyes from tears, your feet from stumbling. My God, my God. He saves you from death, your eyes from tears. I done had some tears. I don't cry a lot, but when I did cry, it was painful. When I did cry, my heart was broken, amen. And some people just cry naturally, but I know tears hurts. And he saved me from my tears. My feet have stumbled. I've tried to walk how God told me to walk, do what God called me to do, and sometimes I make some mistakes. My feet have stumbled. He done all that, but he began to watch over us, y'all. So God has done too much for us too many times. I need his saving rest. So God's saving rest, what it really is, it's meant to protect us. I need God's protection. See, when I'm not cognizant of God's saving rest, I make bad decisions. Yeah. Things I should rejoice over will now leave you restless, my God. When I'm not cognizant of his saving grace, his saving position in my life. 1 Corinthians 15:33, B. Clause says this, bad company corrupts good character. That's the Bible. That's the Bible right there. Bad company. Yeah. Once I move out of the mind frame that God has been good to me, I don't think about that no more. I invite negativity in my life. I invite negativity into my relationships with other people. So when I should reciprocate the love and grace and mercy that God has given to me, I'm no good to give it to another individual. I should be reciprocating God's grace, his love, his mercy, all the things he did. I should be able to give that to other people. But I can't when I'm caught up with bad company because it corrupts good character. So if God is my saving rest, if God isn't my saving rest, excuse me, then it's hard to give someone else what they need from God. Yeah. Because when I can't rest in his presence, I can't give rest to nobody else.
Come on,
I'm tired from trying to do everything on my own. I'm heavy burden. I don't feel connected to be. I don't feel connected, maybe to my children, to my spouse, to significant other, to co-worker, whoever it may be. It's a disconnect. Why? Because I don't have any rest. We need God's rest. The second thing I need, watch this, I need God's rest from work. Amen. I'm going to help somebody here today. Amen. I need God's rest from work. And I think this is so important, and we don't tap into this, that God created us to rest. It's clear that when God created the earth, it says in 6 days, God created the heavens and earth, and on the 7th day, he rested. Do you think God need rest? The Bible says God don't sleep or slumber. He always awake. He didn't need rest, but he knows that we need it. He knows what we need, so he, God being God, as he did with Jesus, gives us the example of what rest looks like. The institution of the Sabbath is in Exodus. God said, observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. He said, I give you 6 days to do work. 1 day of the week, I need you to rest. It's important. God wants us to work. Of course God wants us to work. He knows greatness only happens by hard work.
Yeah.
If you got a dream, you're trying to achieve something you're trying to do, you're going to have to work. Don't get it to you. You're going to have to work to get it. Sometimes you're going to have to work hard. You got to work sometimes some double shifts. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you're not going to have to work. That's foolish theology. You got to think. You got to work if you want something. Amen. You want something in life, you have to work for it. Ain't nothing going to fall in your lap. Amen. You got to work to go get it. But still, you can't ignore the fact that you need rest. So we in a generation that's so obsessed with getting the bag.
Come on.
We got to get the bag. We got to get the money. We got to get all this stuff. And what happens is we so worried about getting all this stuff. We obtaining all these things and our souls are empty. Our souls are weary. Our debt is high because we're so worried about trying to get things. So we got to understand what God is trying to say about work. Look at y'all. Look at this. Psalms 127 and 2. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones. Woo! Man, yeah, because I've been there. I remember when I was a supervisor, I had to work 6 days a week. It wasn't no option. We had to, it was mandatory. I had to work every Saturday. When I was a carrier, so I had to work 6 days a week. And sometimes if you're on the overtime list, you're working 10, 12 days. Like, I've been there and I understand that. But I thank God, one thing I thank God for the post office was it was closed on Sunday. Yeah, I thank God for that. So I was allowed to what? Get my rest and go and worship. Amen. I love this. He says, look here, you're not designed to work hard from early morning to late at night all the time. See, he don't want you working so much that, watch this, now you're too tired to give him worship. So we got to have a standard, especially, and because we're not strong in our faith. Why? Because we're right now in America, we're protected by faith, but we're not strong enough to say, look here, I know this is what it is, but this is what I do on Sundays. I ain't coming to say, look here, boss, I got it. On Sundays, I go to worship. Sunday's my day. I need you to respect what I do and how I do that I live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we don't have that strong mindset to come in that and demand that from a job, we just get dragged here and there and to and where. Amen. Now, I say every job, they're different, but you got to know what you do. But have a strong enough faith where at least you put it in your boss's mind. I worship. This is what I do. This ain't something that I do sometimes. This is how I live. This is what I do. I need my day of rest. Because I found this, the person that owns the company don't work 24-7. They don't work 24-7. Yeah. The person that owns a company, matter of fact, their whole goal is to get you to work for them and then make money while they sleep. Yeah, that's what their goal is. They're trying to make money while they sleep off of somebody else. And if we're not careful, y'all, let's be for real, work can become an idol. We become more obedient and more committed to work than we are our God. Yeah. You ain't got to tell me. I've seen it. That people will work so many hours to the point I'm like, bruh, the taxes ain't even worth no more overtime you working. You didn't put in so, you got so many hours, taxes about to take all that, all of it. They don't care. They still going to go get it. But if you try to invite them to worship, my God, I ain't got time for that. I go. Well, the number one answer, God know my heart. He do. He know you love that job more than him. He know you love that money that ain't God. We trust on that paper more than you love him. He really know your heart. So be careful, people of God, when we say God know our heart, because he really know our hearts. We got to be careful. Some of us are trying to work. Some of us are trying to work so hard for what God is willing and wants to give to you. Y'all help me preach this thing. That's why I'm taking my time today. We think the only way we can get certain things is just by work. I serve a God that does the amazing, that does the impossible, that does exceedingly and abundantly. So while I'm not dismissing work, I'm not going to let work trump my prayers.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let work trump me being righteous. I'm not going to let work trump me living for God. Because what God wants to do, what I can work for in 20 years, God can do it in 1 minute. You got to know the guys you serve, the guys you see, the guys you get. But if you're so caught up in work, you would never experience what God wants to give you willingly.
Amen.
Y'all see the scripture? Let me read it again. work anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones. God wants to give you rest. He wants you fresh for worship. Come on, it's 168 hours in a week. God only asked for 24. Think about that. He only asked for 24. That's all he want out of the week. And truth be told, on Sunday, we don't give him the whole day on Sunday. Let's be honest. But that's why I give him time throughout the week. Because it's not just Sunday. I give him time throughout the week. But on Sunday, he said, I want you to get your rest and I want you to get your worship. It's going to make you a better person. It's going to draw you closer to me. It's going to make you better for your family. It's going to make you better for your children. It's going to make you better across the board if you get your rest. See, I need God's rest for the ability to sleep at night and not worry. Whew. I need God's rest so when I can lay down at night, I ain't got to worry about a thing. Worry sometimes makes us go crazy. And if we be honest with each other today, most of the stuff we worry about don't even happen.
Come on now.
Woo! I didn't worry. Got some more grades. Stressed out on what could have happened. And you look up, you forget after a while, it ain't even happened. God worked it out, and I ain't even thought about it no more. Be careful. It's such a trip. I need the ability to know that whatever tomorrow brings, I have peace. Because I know who brings tomorrow.
Come on.
Yeah, y'all understand that. I can't worry about tomorrow. Ain't no good for him. Jesus said, what good does it do to worry about that stuff? It don't matter. Worry about today and what God can do for you today. I need peace of mind. So how do I get peace? How do I lay down and not worry? It's all because of where my mind is at. He said, I give thee imperfect peace whose mind is stayed upon me. So when my rest and my mind is resting in who God is, when my mind is resting in who God is and what God has done, the God I serve, how much he loved me, he said he gives rest to his loved ones. I'm his loved one because I believe in him. That means I get certain things and privileges. But we mess it up when we worry and stress over what God is doing. The next thing I got to get my rest in, watch this, I got to get my rest in God's peace. I need that peace, y'all. Peace is everything, amen. I need it. Look at Hebrews 4, 9, and 11. So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fail, my God. So the rest that we're talking about, if y'all remember a couple weeks ago, Family Value, we talked about Joshua and the children of Israel getting into the promised land, right? That was a view of their rest. But God says, it's even better rest going to come when y'all get up here with me. It's a better rest that's going to come. It's a rest that's going to blow your mind. You're going to be strengthened, established in me. You're going to feel me like no other. The special rest waiting to God's people. So God promised us a rest that after we leave here is a place made for a specific group of people. Yeah. Where worry don't exist.
Come on.
Where pain don't exist. Where heartache don't exist. Disappointments of this world, none of this exists. But he gives us a warning. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fail. What did they do? What was their number one thing? They didn't have faith. Remember, they tried to make a golden calf because God was taking them out of Egypt. They didn't want to do that. They didn't want to listen to Moses. They thought God couldn't provide for them. So God is saying, look here, to get in my rest, you practicing on earth.
Yeah.
You practicing trusting me right now. You practicing having faith in me right now. You practicing believing I can provide. You practicing believing I can deliver. I can heal. I can set you free. All that sets you up to get this rest I have. So I got to get myself together, y'all. So I got some place to go. When I get there, I hope I see everybody I know. I got to get to heaven, right? I got to get what God has for me, but his rest is real. And if we're not careful, just like Israel was caught up in Egypt, this world trips you out of God's rest. It'll make you believe what it has is better than what God has. This world will trick you and make you believe that. It's a dangerous thing that you play games. They were convinced, think about this, Israel. They were convinced that Egypt had more food, that Egypt had more drink. Egypt had everything better where they were slaves at. First being in a free land flowing with milk and honey. And the devil don't play fair. He makes us think that if I can go over here and do this for a little bit, it'll be better than what God has for me. I come to tell you, the devil don't play fair. And I'm telling you, can't trick the devil. He's watching and observing. Look at this, y'all. All right, now we back to where we at, Matthew 11:29. Jesus said, look here, y'all worrying, y'all burdens. I got you. I need rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burdens I give you is light. Amen. My God. Woo, take my yoke upon you. Amen. I want y'all to see that right there. That's a yoke right there. If y'all don't know what a yoke is, so let me help you out so you can understand what Jesus is saying and why this is so important. So you see the yoke on the two oxen back there. A yoke is a wooden bar or frame used to join draft animals at the heads or necks so they can pull together. Now, this yoke is big old, you see the big entrapment back there, it's on their necks. But what they need is, because if I got two oxen, right, one might be stronger than the other. One might can run faster than the other. And if I got a cart trying to haul something, I'm gonna be all over the place. They might break my wheels. I can't have that's going to cost me. So what I got to do is I have to put them together. Therefore, if one tries to pull too hard, it's going to choke them. If one is moving too slow, they're going to have to speed up a little bit. It's going to choke them. It's designed to keep them steady and moving in the same direction. So Jesus says, look here, take my yoke and learn of me. You need direction in your life. You need me to show you where to go and how to do it. I can give you special instructions because me and the Father are one. My instructions come from heaven, don't come from earth. I can show you what you need, but I need you to learn of me. And the reason you should learn of me, I'm a different breed. I'm humble at heart. I'm gentle. I ain't like all these other teachers you had. I'm not like all these other idols you had. I literally care for you so much. I want to see you win. I'm going to show you later. I'm willing to shed my blood just so you can win. So the yoke is there to control the beast so they move in the same direction. Without no yoke, it's chaos. You understand what I'm saying? Without no yoke, it's damage. Without no yoke, it's destruction. So Jesus says, take my yoke and learn of me. Now look at this. Look at this picture right here. This is Jesus' yoke right here. Look at this. Look at this right here. Next one for me. Jesus right there, right there. This is what a yoke looks like for us as Christians. Yeah. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. You will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy to bear, and the burdens I give you is light. So Jesus' yoke for us is the cross. Yeah, his yoke is the cross. Carrying it on his back, and we ought to do the same. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I just don't need physical rest in my life. Amen. Physical rest is good. I use a good nap at any good time. Praise God. A good nap will do good justice. Amen. I know adult naps, some of the best. Some of y'all can get some after church naps today. And I'm sure y'all gonna sleep good. Slobber drooling on your face. I already know. That kind of rest is good. I get it. But I need more than that. I need physical rest, but I need mental rest. I need Jesus to give me true rest. I got it in my soul. So when I'm resting in him, I don't have to carry my yoke or my burdens, because I'm giving it to him. So my example, as this picture shows, me carrying my cross is giving Jesus my burdens. Yeah, I'm resting in him. I don't have to carry the burden of lying no more. I don't have to carry that burden. I'm giving it to him. I don't have to carry the burden of insecurities no more. I'm resting in him. I don't have to carry the burden of being perfect. I don't have to carry the burden of lust, of greed, of jealousy, even whatever it is. I don't have to carry that no more, because I'm following him. What did Jesus say? If anyone wants to follow me and be my disciples, he must carry his cross, deny himself, and follow me. The moment that we decide to follow Jesus, you got to be willing to take that yoke. See, while we're encouraged to bring everybody here together, the believers, I love seeing y'all Sunday morning. Trust and believe, Pastor, love it. I love it, but I love more when I'm seeing y'all grow in the spirit too. Yeah. That you understand that, look here, this ain't just a day thing. It's a life thing. Come on, that I got to take this yoke. I got to carry my cross. And we all got a cross to carry. All of us. And if I carry my cross, my yoke, and learn of him, I get rest. I get so much rest, I no longer do the things that I used to want to do. I get so much rest that my phone don't ring like it used to be, but people enticing me to see it. I get so much rest, I'm no longer restless at night. I get so much rest that I know I'm in a good space, that can't nobody steal my joy, can't nobody make me trip, can't nobody make me click and go off, can't nobody mess with my mind no more. It's amazing. I get so much rest when I take up my yoke and say, look here, if you disturbing my rest in him, I'm sorry, you gotta go. I got rest in him. I got peace in him. I got comfort in him. I got a love that I've never known before in him. And if you are making me take my cross off and put it down,
you got to go.
If I'm taking my cross off and putting it down for you, you ain't worth that. He's done too much for me. He's kept me alive. He's cried me, dried my tears. He's given me health. He's given me strength. He's protected me. So I got to take my yoke and learn of him. The moment you decide to carry your cross, like John the Baptist, struggle gonna come, amen. Don't think you can't carry your cross and think you ain't going to have to go to the crucifixion. Woo! Yeah, Jesus carried his cross, but that wouldn't end. See, we got to all carry our cross down our own personal Golgotha, the place of the skull where he went to. You got to take that cross and carry it to where you will be crucified. Which means you might be mocked. People might turn their back. The disciples left Jesus. People mocked. They put a sign up saying, "Here lies the King of the Jews." They said, "He's God. Come on down. If you're really God." He got talked about. He got mistreated. All that happens when you carry your cross. You got to be willing to carry your cross. Take my yoke, and I'm done here. But Jesus is saying, y'all, this, that I get it. It's some pain on my side because the world's gonna hate you. But the peace I give outweighs anything you're going to have over there. The love I give outweighs anything that the world can ever give to you. So you got to learn to take your yoke. Because I want to encourage everyone today, you got to find your rest in God. Is God your resting place? Is he your safe place? Is he where you know you can land and you know you're going to bounce back like a trampoline? Is he where you're going to land at and you know no matter what happens, you're going to be able to get up? If he's not that for you today, I declare today, you better make him that today. Let him be your resting place. See, we serve a God that's real and he loves us for real. Why else would Jesus say this? I am humble of heart. Why else would Jesus say that? I'm here to help you and lift you up. But he says, guess what? We got to make a choice. So I don't know where you are in your relationship with Jesus Christ today. If you're saved, God bless you. We thank God for you. If you're not saved, please, I encourage you to give God your heart, young or old. If you feel you've been putting your cross down, it's time to pick that thing up and carry it for real. Stop letting people manipulate you out of your cross. Stop letting people manipulate you. Because every time I put it down, Jesus. Every time I put my cross down and begin to walk the opposite direction, at some point I'm going to have to go back. And see, whenever I got to go back, I got to start from where I was at. And then I missed out on so much that God had for me. I don't know about y'all, but I like to retake tests in school. Man. I don't know about y'all. I like to retake tests. I like to try to do the best I can the first time. Because I don't want to retake the test. Amen. And what I come to find out with God is that the more we put our cross down and go on that way, because he's kind and merciful, he'll let us come back a lot more than we deserve, right? We didn't get to come back more than we deserve, but I got to retake that test. I got to go back over that again. And I don't want to keep going back over that when God says, I got something over here that can blow your mind. I got something over here that's going to be so powerful in your life. It's going to change your life, your family's life. It's going to do the amazing. But you keep having to go back and restart. I don't want to restart. Ain't nothing worse. My video game players, if you get to the last level and that can't restart. Might use some choice words, amen. Looking mad. Don't let a kid or somebody hit that restart button. Ain't no memory card. You at the end of it. You like, oh my God. I don't even want to play no more. I'm done. I don't even want to do this no more. I go all the way back to the beginning. I don't want to do this no more. Treat your relationship with God like that. God, I don't want to go back to the beginning. We mastered that level.
Yeah.
I want to see what you got new for me. I want to see what new doors you can open. I want to see what people you got me to talk to and witness to. I want to see what people you got me to pray for. I want to see people in my family tree saved. I want to see some aunties and some uncles and some cousins and some people I care about. I want to see you save them. And if I got to be that example, I'm going to carry my cross. We got to make a choice to carry our cross. So I ask you today, do you want to carry your cross? If you know it's been a struggle, you putting it down, I say come up here today and make a declaration that I'm here to carry my cross. I'm here to put myself down and say I got to follow Jesus. Whatever that looks like. And a lot of times they don't look like what we think it should look like. Yeah. We don't know how it's going to look. All we know is that I'm being obedient and I'm following him. And it looks like me denying myself. That's what it looks like. Pick up my cross, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. It looks like putting him in the top place. Amen. I know I don't want to do this long, but if anybody, if you, whatever you stand in need of, I don't know if you need to be saved in the church home. You want to be baptized, amen, so we can get our baptism list together, whatever it may be. If you need anything from God in here today, I encourage you, let today be your day, amen. If you need to be encouraged, you need to pick up your cross and follow God, whatever the case may be, whatever it is, we're here to help you. We're here to grow you in God. But don't let the enemy keep you down. He's good at that, at keeping us bound. He's good at keeping us down. He's good at making us think, you know what, I'm all right sometimes when we know we ain't. He's good at making us feel like I'll do it the next time. When nobody's promised the next time, he's good at those things. I say, if you feel God right now, allow God to move in you freely. The Holy Ghost is pulling you, nudging you. Let the Holy Ghost have his way. For those that are online, y'all can reach out to us as well. But if you need anything from God, amen, I'm going to pray for everybody. I just want to give everybody a chance. If you need something today, man, let God be God. Let him have his way in your life. Is there anybody? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. This, you coming out this year. I'm telling you. God gonna do what you need to do with you this year. This gonna be your year. This gonna be your year. I'm saying it right now. This gonna be your year. This gonna be your year that God takes you. I'm about to pray for you. God says wisdom. So what do you got for you? Wisdom. Because your heart is in the right place. Your heart's in the right place. Now it's the wisdom of discerning. Where do I need to be and how I need to move? And allow God to do that thing. And listen to him when he speaks. If he say no, stand on that. If he say don't go, stand on that. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. God got power and might you ain't tapped into yet. I know you. I love you. Your heart is there. God says your heart is there. He has it for you. It's wisdom. The word of wisdom keeps coming to me. Seeing you, amen. We're going to pray, amen. Is there anybody else? Anybody else, amen, that needs prayer and needs anything from God? Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Anybody else? I know y'all call me a church pastor. Can you come? Let me ask you for a minute, pastor. I love y'all. Amen. Amen. But amen, I'm going to ask that you stretch your hands. If you're not praying, stretch your hands. We believe in the power of prayer, that God has something special for us all. And we're going to declare today God's going to have his way in your life, amen, on your level. Hallelujah, Father God, we come boldly to the throne of grace and asking for strength and mercy in the time of need. I thank you, God, for speaking your name, oh God. I thank you, God, for her heart, oh God. I thank you, God, for her heart is pure towards you. I thank you, God, that she loves you. I thank you, God, for her. I see the growth in her, oh God, over these last almost 5 years. I've seen the growth, Father God, but I hear you, God, say, but you have so much more. You have so much more to pour into her. You have so much more to grow in her. You have so much more, oh God, to do in her life, Father God. So I declare and decree, oh God, today, oh God, the enemy will not come near her, oh God. I declare today, oh God, that any snake, any serpent, oh God, that tries to deceive her, oh God, that she will have a wisdom. wisdom. God said, be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. And when God is showing you who people are, you better believe them. When God is showing you where you should be at, you better stay there. When God is showing you, you need to bust a move, you better bust a move. God has said, I need you to learn how to follow my instructions and do it expeditiously, do it quickly, because I have more for you. I have more for your children. I have more for your life. I need you to be strong in your faith. I know it may be hard right now. I know, but I'm building your character. I'm building your prayer life. I'm building your ministry. I'm building you in so many ways. You don't have it. You don't even know, but you got to go through it so I can build you properly. I can't build you and have you broken. No, no, no. You're my vessel. I got to build you properly so you can be a testimony, so you can help young ladies, so you can help and your children, so you can grow. I pray right now, Father God, give her the rest that she needs, oh God. Give her the rest she needs in her mind. Give her the rest she needs in her spirit. Give her the rest she needs, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. I pray, oh God, even her children, oh God, will help her and give her the rest that she needs, oh God. I pray, Father God, let her rest in your saving power. Let her rest in your peace. Let her rest in your presence, oh God, that when trials come, because they will come, and heartaches and hard days will come, we can't get away from it, that she will be able to turn to you and pray and fall safely in your arms and in your rest, oh God. We believe that and we stand on it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. We give you glory, God. We thank God for all he's doing, Sister Prince. We thank God for all he's doing and continues to do in our lives. What an awesome, mighty God we serve. That's what it's about, loving one another, lifting up one another, because we all need God. Amen.
Amen.
We all need him. Amen. Hallelujah. At this time, we're getting ready to do our offering. Amen. Praise God.